You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
This is The Rob Carson Show. Every day, by the way, we do The Rob Carson Show podcast. My producer, Ken, also known as Redneck MacGyver, puts it up after the show. You can listen to it divided into two parts, including the incredible interview by Gordon Chang yesterday that you should listen and share. Just go to your usual podcast platforms, whichever one you love. Could be Apple Podcasts, could be Spotify. And if you would, please subscribe. You can also ask Alexa to play the Rob Carson Show podcast. It'll take you right to the latest episode. And again, we put it up after the show. So there you go. How's that sound? Okay, so real quick, Facebook and Instagram are off right now. I don't know what's going on. There's an outage. I'm not going to try to be paranoid or weird about it. It's just they're not working. So there you go. I haven't seen it happen. Who the hell knows? I don't know. Of course, Democrats are already saying, well, it's the Russians colluding with Trump to shut him down. Okay, you keep telling yourself that. You keep telling yourself. Here's the story I've been talking about. Joe Biden's administration is admitting to flying 320,000 migrants secretly into the U.S. to reduce the number of crossings at the border, and has admitted it has national security vulnerabilities. Now, I'm very serious about this. So, on secret flights into the U.S., lawyers for its immigration agencies claim revealing the locations could create national security vulnerabilities. Customs and Border Protection has refused to disclose information about the program last year, secretly arranging flights for thousands of undocumented immigrants from foreign airports directly into U.S. cities. It means that while record numbers of migrants were flowing over the southern border last year, the Biden White House was also directly transporting them into the country using a cell phone app, has allowed for the near undetected arrival by air of 320,000 aliens with no legal rights to enter the United States. I thought it was climate change. It comes after the controversy over a 2022 transportation program in which the administration used taxpayer money to move migrants throughout the country on overnight flights. Included in details of the FOIA lawsuit filed by Todd Bensman, who we will have back on the show again, the Center for Immigration Studies found that Biden's CBP approved the latest secretive flights that transported hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants from foreign countries into at least 43 American airports from January through December of 2023. Migrants were able, under Biden's expansion, to apply for asylum using the app from their home countries, but the Center for Immigration Studies notes that the transportation of these migrants directly to the U.S. is one of the lesser known uses of the app. Aliens who cannot legally enter the U.S. use CBP 1 to apply for travel authorization and temporary humanitarian release from those airports. New information from CIS lawsuit reveals the locations were not disclosed due to fear bad actors would inflict harm on public safety or the information would create law enforcement vulnerabilities. This is as serious as it gets. CBP lawyers wrote that revealing the airports would reveal information about the relative number of individuals arriving. That would, in turn, reveal operational vulnerabilities that could be exploited by bad actors altering their patterns of conduct, adopting new methods of operation, and taking other countermeasures, whatever the hell that means. Lawyers did not disclose the location of foreign airport departures, so we don't even know where the hell they're coming from. Venezuela, etc., etc., etc. Here is Donald Trump talking to my friend Chris Salcedo of Newsmax yesterday.
When I took over in 2016, we had a problem with the border, pretty big problem, but it was nothing compared to what it is now. But now you look at this, and this is 100 times worse. Nobody can imagine what's happening. I think 15 million people have come into our country already, and they are rough people. They're from jails. They're from mental institutions. They're the roughest, toughest people. And now you see the crime, and you look at Lakin, and you look at, you know, the what they did to the beautiful young girl, nursing student in Georgia. And it's absolutely hard to believe that our country is at this position. I think we're at the lowest level we've ever been.
It's true.
In terms of spirit, and certainly in terms of you know, migrant crime is going to be a whole new category of crime that I think it might end up being bigger than regular bad crime.
Yeah. Now, coming up, Elon Musk says the groundwork for is being laid for something far worse than 9/11. I'll explain what that's all about and more audio from others confirming this, among other things, in your phone calls. 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Your 100% safe and effective vaccine against the stupid is the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show. And, yeah, Tucker Carlson said this a while back about, you know, the 2024. And I said that it's going to get very, very weird. And we're already knee deep in it.
So it's about to get very serious, for sure. Listen, you know, it's only leadership of the world at stake, which is also, by the way, we now know the most lucrative possible political franchise in human history. So everything's at stake. What wouldn't they do? What haven't they done? What might they do next? Let your imagination run wild. Yeah. So the question, the only one that you can answer is, how will you prepare yourself for that? Again.
And now we know that 320,000 illegals have been flown into the country without telling you from their countries we don't know that we're coming from. We also know that the ex-CBP director under Joe Biden was never contacted by Joe Biden after he took office, or Kamala Harris at all. I don't know. Here's the AG of Texas, friend of the show, Ken Paxton.
I mean, look, you just showed the clip of that Border Patrol, head of Border Patrol, saying that the president, the vice president, the czar of the border never spoke to him. And so then suddenly Mayorkas is accusing Abbott of being the problem, that we don't coordinate with them. I wonder, I mean, I've never gotten a call from anybody in the Biden administration saying, hey, how can we help, or what's the problem, or could you help us do this or that? My guess is I've never heard Governor Abbott say that they called to ask for his help, or even called to say, hey.
They told you it was climate change. They made Kamala Harris the border czar. She said she would go to the Northern Triangle to find the source of it. She hasn't done anything. You're being played.
We want to help you. So I think, I don't know what to call him other than a very ambitious liar. How about that? Well, look, and they've also tried to blame the Republican Congress for not doing anything. It's so ironic. I mean, under Trump, it was the same exact laws that were being enforced by Donald Trump effectively. Yeah. And they dismantled every one of them. They just stopped enforcing them and actually forced the Border Patrol to stop enforcing, and then tried to sue us, and we had to sue them because they tried to stop us from protecting our own state. So
they opened the border intentionally, guys. We got an illegal invasion coming from the southern border, now through the northern border. Dear God, wake the hell up, honestly. I'm done with it. We know it's happening. Close the damn border. Mark in Baltimore. Hello, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Rob, how are you? It's first-time caller. I just wanted to say I love your show.
Thank you, bro.
And, I think you do a great job. Tell Barbara I said hi. I listen to her all the time, too.
All right.
Speaking of the planes coming in, I noticed one when I was at BWI working at night down there as a contractor. Around 1 o'clock in the morning, I had to escort a subcontractor out of Airside. Came back around. By the time I came back around, there was a plane parked right where the police department is, next to International Arrival Building, and they were deboarding everybody, not through the jetway, because it wasn't a jetway, onto the asphalt, to the tarmac. And there was three buses there. They were loading them on the buses. Now, no bus had any markings on it, and the plane had no markings on it. So I'm assuming 2 years ago, that's what they were doing.
Well, they are being very secretive about everything, Mark. And what does that say to you? It says they're hiding something from you. There's some sort of plan afoot. And I don't like playing. I don't play paranoid, okay? I'm not Alex Jones. I don't particularly like Alex Jones. Unfortunately, Alex Jones has been about right about a lot of stuff. And there is clearly something underway. They have allowed the southern border to be completely open. They're fighting Ken Paxton in Texas and the governor of Texas, and they are trying to bring as many people in the country as possible. And they have. We know that about 10 million people have come in. We know that 1.5 million gotaways have come in, and hundreds of people on the terrorist watch list. Why won't KJP Corinne Jean-Pierre answer the question? question. Why won't Alejandro Mayorkas tell us the truth? It should be telling you something. Mark, thanks for the call, bro. I appreciate it. We got some more audio on the way from even people in Texas saying, what the hell is going on? Your calls welcome, 800-922-6680. This is The Rob Carson Show. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but things are pretty volatile in this country. A lot of people are having to come back out of retirement to work. That number's gone up 400% because we don't know which way the stock market's going to go, which way interest rates are going to go. Silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to prepare wealth and hedge against economic instability. Physical silver provides you with a tangible asset that you can hold on to in your hand. CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in tangible coin assets. Every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your silver and gold coin collection with confidence. And if you're going to collect something, it might as well be money itself, right? So go to csnmint.com/newsmax. Use promo code Newsmax, and you'll get one free silver eagle over $30 in value with your purchase of $75 or more. Browse the entire catalog at csnmint.com/newsmax and find out what works for you, your budget, and your family. That's csnmint.com/newsmax and use promo code Newsmax, okay?
You don't just plant a flag just to plant a flag. It's got to be strategic, and it's got to make sense.
Raul Ortiz served as chief of the U.S. Border Patrol under President Biden and deputy chief under President Trump. He retired last year.
When agencies are making a decision based upon politics or whether they're going to get media coverage, hey, we're going to put all our personnel in this two-mile stretch. What about the other 200 miles?
This is from 60 Minutes on CBS on Sunday.
In our interview, Ortiz criticized Governor Abbott for not cooperating with the Border Patrol and playing.
That's CBS trying to blame something on Abbott and trying to blame something on him when, in fact, Abbott has done nothing but turn this thing around.
Politics with immigration.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
But he also expressed frustration with President Biden.
Here we go.
I've never had one conversation with the president or the vice president for that matter. And so I was the chief of the Border Patrol. I commanded 21,000 people. That's a problem.
I just saw 50 people today who had just crossed the border illegally. So something's not working.
We need to make sure that Central America, South America, Mexico, that those regions.
So why wouldn't the director of the Border Patrol get approached or contacted at all by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? It's because Joe Biden and his administration have commandeered the southern border and opened it up. That's the reason why. They've taken everybody who takes care of the border out of the equation. All you are there to do is process people and don't ask any questions. That's what it's really all about. And there's something afoot. And why is the number one issue in America immigration? Because Americans are very concerned about it. Very, very concerned about it. Massive groups of military-age males from Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, India, Pakistan, Nepal are more and more filmed traveling through the Darien Gap in Panama to be flown into the U.S. by the Biden regime. Ben Burkham, who is a fine journalist, is currently in the Darien Gap between the Colombia and Panama, reporting on the international human smuggling operation coordinated by the CARS globalists and Biden regime. 85,000 kids have been lost to child sex traffickers in the United States. And where's this administration? If they aren't wanting to work with Border Patrol to stop this, there's something really evil afoot. When you've got fentanyl flowing over the border in mass amounts, 120,000 people have dying of drug ODs last year, most of them fentanyl deaths. Fentanyl comes from China, is being stamped in China into pills that look like prescription meds. Do I need to say more? That's why people are concerned about it. and they're sick and damn tired of it. Here is John Kirby, again, trying to pull the wool over people's eyes when they know there is something wrong.
What about the state of the president? That seems to be the issue that is really cropping up in these polls, John.
Well, look, I can't speak for the polling numbers. I can just tell you, speaking for the president, that he is 100% engaged in the job of being commander-in-chief and president of the United States.
Yeah, nobody believes that either, John. You know why? Because we're not stupid.
Again, through his leadership, all these domestic things have improved, as well as our footing on the world stage.
Are you kidding? Again, we're not stupid.
This is a president who is actively engaged every single day. I've seen it for myself.
We did some reporting on this earlier today. Not only Raul Ortiz, the former chief of the Border Patrol, but the current chief of the Border Patrol, Chief Owens, who you pointed out he did meet with in Brownsville, but from what we could find out, they had never spoken before that. How is that possible?
Well, the president's engaged with the...
You're full of crap.
DHS, he's engaged with leadership there.
But
he's
why not the Border Patrol?
He's engaged with the Border Patrol. Martha, he was just down there in Brownsville meeting and talking to those folks directly and hearing from them about the situation on the ground.
But he never met with the former or current chief. The current chief you just met, he's been president for 3 years, just met him the other day.
He again, is...
They're trying to play you again, guys. They played you with COVID, too, although you didn't fall for it. They gaslight you about everything. We know what's up. This is CNBC. They had Pete Buttigieg on, and he's a transportation secretary who is transphobic because he is not involved in transportation. Here is the host of CNBC talking to Pete Buttigieg, who's trying to, you know, lie some more about the southern border when everybody knows the truth.
Whole move to try to come up with something by the administration and obviously bipartisan. That didn't come until it became clear it was going to be a major campaign issue, and only then did the Biden administration get interested in it. And every time I hear every time we hear those talking points that suddenly it was Republicans who ruined the border, that's why people get so frustrated. We know what President Biden said about inviting people in. We know that he got rid of all the things that were keeping the border closed that President Trump had put in. We know that he got rid of all those. So when you say it's not his fault,
literally not true.
It's literally true. And don't try to say it isn't, you buffoon. Ben Burkham and Oscar Ramirez are in the Darien Gap. They discovered 15-acre facilities that the United States is using to process and smuggle illegals into the United States. Burkham also reported finding U.N. condoms at the border of Colombia and Panama, likely used by cartel members to rape small numbers of women and children who are traveling with large groups of men. The Biden regime and globalist organizations are helping these animals traffic and rape women on their journey to the United States. Islamists will come here, get the guns, get the C4 detonation, kill people. They're not good. That's what people are worried about. All men from the Middle East, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, India, all men being smuggled in by cartels in the United States of America. You understand it, too, and you're worried about it. Here is Brownsville, Texas. Residents of Brownsville, Texas, being interviewed by the great reporter Sarah Carter.
Disgrace. It's a disgrace. He should be ashamed of himself after all the things that this community have gone through.
We're here to show that we are tired of Joe Biden. We want Trump's policies back.
Get your hands off of our country. He sold us out. We know what he's done. He sold us out to China, sold us out to other countries. We're informed. We're not asleep here in the Rio Grande Valley.
If you had a message for President Biden, if you could talk to him today, what would your message be?
Undo every one of those executive orders you signed on your first day in office.
This is a rancher named John Ladd. And he has a ranch right along the Mexican border in Texas. And here's what he's had to deal with, including finding 17 dead bodies on his land in the last couple of years.
Well, we've had in the 30 years it's been bad. We had 17 dead ones. So. Most of them are either heat or cold. Some of them are heart attacks. Some of them are sick. Probably the worst one was... Two bodies ago, my 8-year-old grandson was one that ended up saying, Grandpa, there's something dead over there, and it isn't a cow. We shouldn't have to look over our shoulder living where we live.
Yesterday in Denver, I'm going to get to this audio of an older woman talking about what is happening in Denver as she struggles to try and feed herself. on $35,000 a year, while Denver literally is laying off people who work for the government and at the same time pushing to hire illegals to work in the government. New York City, same thing. Eric Adams, $10,000 gift cards, free hotel rooms. Maine is another place. They're building luxury condos for illegals. California, they're giving them free health care and giving them first-time homeowner assistance. You get it. Let's go to James in Fairmont, West Virginia. Hello there, James. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show.
Hello, Mr. Carson. You know, I'm going to say this. I don't always agree with your political affiliations and ideas, but today I agree with you. Something has got to be done about the southern border. And I have another question for you. Why is it that we're dealing with these drug cartels in the southern border? Why do they not make them terrorist organizations and go and eliminate them?
Because somebody's getting a cut. That's what I think.
I can't argue with that. You know,
somebody's getting a cut, man. Somebody's getting paid. Somebody's getting paid, man.
As far as that governor, the governor of Texas goes, I think that man should be allowed to do whatever it is he needs to do to secure his state. I think that should go for every governor.
You know what? Texas would have never become a state if they couldn't protect their border if the federal government fails them. So that's bullcrap. And I support him 1,000%, and I support the 26 states who do as well. I appreciate the call, Derek James, and I'm sorry you don't agree with everything, but sooner or later you will. Let's go to Lake City, Texas, home of our glorious affiliate, Patriot Talk, 920 AM in Houston. Mike, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's up, bro?
Oh, thank you for having me on. I love your show, and I love Newsmax. We live in an upscale waterfront community south of Houston, so the immigration problem isn't too terribly bad here yet. But we were having lunch just last week with we were sitting next to a young millennial couple from Ohio, and we were asking them about how they like, you know, the area. Anyway, make a long story short, they went into Houston proper, downtown, to restaurants and venues there. They said they were scared to death because the migrants are just milling around. If they left, they said they'll never go back. And my wife and I, we don't go to downtown Houston either.
Well, you know, what are you going to do when you invite people from all over the world who speak a myriad of languages, don't speak a language, don't have a method of support at all, can't get jobs? What do you suppose they're going to do, Mike? What happens when you empty your prisons in Venezuela? What happens when you empty your insane asylums in other countries and just say, go to the United States? What the hell you think's going to happen, Mike?
I can tell you what's going to happen. The exact same thing that happened with Fidel Castro and Jimmy Carter and his boat people when he was president on a much larger scale. And what happened, I went to the grocery store a couple weeks ago, and a young millennial Hispanic couple was there. Their cart was just overflowing, the tray underneath, the basket. They had two or three small kids. And she was 30 cents shy of being able to pay all of her groceries with EBT cards. And the guy with her reaches into his pocket and pulls out a wad of cash that would have choked a horse. And he had a hard time finding a $1 bill and all that money to give to the cashier. And we just all stood there looking around like, that's our tax dollars, hard at work.
Yeah, you know, Mike, and while people are eating cereal for dinner, the illegals with EBT cards, I've been to Sam's Club with behind people with an EBT card. They eat better than you and I will ever eat, my friend. You and I, who have to go out and work two or three jobs to pay the bills, we don't eat even half as good as some of those illegals with EBT cards. Because they don't even worry about the price, man. All they know is that card is charged $1,000 at the beginning of the month, and they can just go hog wild, man. You can't do that, can you, Mike?
No, sir, not in the least. But let me ask you a question. I don't see this ever ending. And by that, I mean this has been a 100-year march towards this, starting with the founding of the Communist Party USA in 1919. So even if Trump wins and everything, you know, gets great again, the other side isn't going to, you know, quit. This is going to be this has been a constant march for 100 years to bring America down. And it doesn't
Well, but Mike, here's the thing. This has been exposed for the first time. They went for broke on everything. The left, the Maoists, the Marxists, they are going for broke on everything, including the southern border. They are all in on this. And that's why I say you've got to stay focused. You've got to stay involved, and you've got to be ready. Because something is afoot. It is an election year, and they're going all in, man. They're going to try and do something. Go ahead.
Well, the reason why they're in overdrive is because Obama got them to the red zone. Hillary was supposed to put him in the end zone. Trump comes along, gets elected, throws a wrench in their plans. That's why everything's been at such an accelerated pace over the last 4 years, because whatever they had in store for America was to culminate at the end of Hillary's second term, which would be 2024, has she beaten Trump in 2016.
Yeah, they're going all in, man. I'm telling you, this has been coming a long time. They've infiltrated schools with CRT, transgender nonsense, woke nonsense, DEI nonsense to divide us. You've got MSNBC saying that white suburban rage or whatever they're trying to divide us on every front. They've weakened our military. They tried to make the military woke. Now they're begging for recruits, although they don't really want those recruits. They've weakened America considerably, and everybody's sitting there going, why is this going on? I started asking this question a couple years ago. Why can't I say my opinion anymore without being called misinformation or disinformation? Why can't I call out the madness of all of this? All of it is madness. Transgenderizing your children, letting women play in sports, among other things, this radical pornography in elementary school libraries, which is real, by the way. Why is it happening? It's about our culture. It's about an intentional way to distract us and tear us down. None of this crap is going on in China. None of it is going on in Russia. Mike, I got to run, bro. I appreciate it. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show. A couple of years ago, I came up with an expression called "Don't catch the stupid." It's because I was working at a car dealership, because that's what I had to do, because radio didn't like me for some reason, or at least the people who were in radio at the time didn't, and now they do. And I kept going to the hospital, the largest emergency room in the county where I live, on the Kansas side of Kansas City. And because COVID was going on, I was thinking, man, there must be a lot of people in that emergency room, because COVID is the most deadly virus ever in the history of mankind. And every night I went there, and there was nobody there. And then I kept hearing things like, if I stand 6 feet away from somebody, I won't catch the deadliest virus ever. But if I'm 5 feet, then I'll die. Or if I wear a cloth mask, it'll prevent the deadliest virus in the world from permeating. And then I said, wearing a cloth mask to prevent this deadly pathogen makes about as much sense as wearing a cowboy hat to go scuba diving. And I've been right on every single thing since. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying common sense. Common sense. Research. And then I said, if somebody says your opinion is disinformation or misinformation, it means they know you know the truth. Guess what? Knew I was right about that. We know the DHS was involved in censoring free speech. And that's why I came up with this all-encompassing song.
Arizona.
Welcome, new listeners.
And Corona.
This all makes sense now.
All the lies about them they've been telling you.
Lied about everything.
How did they win it? The freaking Senate, when the votes that they received were very few.
Because they lied.
Don't catch the stupid, don't buy their BS.
Hey.
That climate change is real, inflation's not.
That's a lie.
Don't catch the stupid, don't believe them, because distraction and diversion's all they got.
We all know that Hurricane Ian was the result of global warming.
Russian collusion led to confusion.
That's a lie.
January 6th is a smokescreen. The new Green Deal is a disguise. Like their mandate forcing you to take vaccine. Don't catch the stupid, you just can't do it. That in women's sports, men should compete.
That's another lie.
They're teaching sex ed in kindergarten. Their destructive policies we must defeat.
Like wear a mask, don't wear a mask.
Statues have fallen, it's so appalling. To ignore Hunter's laptop and his theft.
Oh, that was lying.
Don't catch the stupid, reject their nonsense. Everything is stupid on the left.
There you go. I was right about everything. Johnny in Silicon Valley, you got about 45 seconds, bro. What's on your mind?
I'm just telling, for once, we need to vote blue, Dodger blue. Steve Garvey, Republican for California. All my Republicans in California show up.
Yep.
You got to show up. We got to take it to state back. We can't let them get it easy, right?
Got to go find a
Giants fan. For once, vote blue, baby. Steve Garvey, well, love you guys.
You know what? He's a common sense. He's a common sense conservative. You've seen him. He's a conservative Democrat. He's a JFK Democrat. You know, and I legitimately, it's really hard to see Democrats, you know, who care about the country. Tulsi Gabbard does. She does. And it appears that Steve Garvey does. But he's got to win overwhelmingly. He's got to pull way out in front if he's going to win that. I don't know all the dynamics going on in California. But what I've heard about Steve Garvey is pretty amazing. So, hell yeah. You know, California, do you like the descent into hell that California is going through right now? Do you enjoy that? Do you really enjoy that with your greasy-haired, teeth-capped governor? I didn't think you did. Let's take a break. This is The Rob Carson Show.
This is The Rob Carson Show.
This is The Rob Carson Show. Jeffrey Lord, columnist of The American Spectator, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about Super Tuesday. I'm still stuck on Magnificent Monday when Donald Trump, I should say, won 9-0 because over 30 states have attempted to take him off the ballot because they know they're Democrats. They know that Donald Trump's going to win. And, you know, that in combination with four indictments being directed out of the White House, everybody knows that now. There is an attempt to steal the 2024 election. And this is great because they're exposing themselves. All right, so they're exposing their faces so we can kick their asses, as I like to say. So there's that going on. and we're going to win because American people are waking up. That includes black people, white people, liberals, conservatives. I'm talking about traditional liberals. Liberalism used to be mean, open-minded. I discovered a long time ago it's anything but that when it comes to the American left. But we are going to come together to save our country, but they're going to pull unspeakable things on us. You know, look at the southern border. They're lying to us about the southern border. Lying to us about it. Lying to us about it. They're not doing anything about fentanyl deaths. They're not doing anything. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody in the federal government is talking about all of the people who are dying of fentanyl. Nobody cares. In the federal government, this should be a crisis of epic proportions, but nobody cares. Nobody cares that military-age males are coming across the border by the tens of thousands from enemy countries. We do. Something's afoot. You know it as well as I do. Stay focused. Before we dive into Denver, Colorado, Fani Willis warned Nathan Wade's lawyer, Nathan Wade was her lover, to stay quiet about the affair. According to a court filing, they're coming after us. A new witness could testify warned that a lover, Nathan Wade's former business partner, to stay quiet about their affair, an exclusive new court filing claims. They're coming after us. You don't need to talk to them about anything about us. Willis is alleged to have said, warning Terrence Bradley in September 2023, a phone call. You know, if you overhear a phone call, that could impeach a president. So, you know, it's got to be credible. Call was overheard by Cobb County, Georgia prosecutor Cindy Lee Yeager, according to court papers filed Monday by Trump co-defendant David Schaefer. Wade and Willis have said under oath they were only romantically involved between 2022 and 2023 before the case started, or not before the case started, but it turns out they were doing what it looks like, booty calls and texts and like, you were the best and you were awesome, I'll see you tonight, okay, you know, and all of that stuff. Bradley also texted a lawyer for another Trump co-defendant. The pair were absolutely dating before Willis hired Wade to manage the Trump prosecution in November 2021, then muttered, oh, dang, when confronted with that evidence on the stand. I also have a telling piece it's testimony, I guess. It's one of Trump's lawyers reading a text apparently sent by Nathan Wade to Fani Willis. I'm going to play it right now. This is a world exclusive on the Rob Carson Show right here.
I would like to read to the court the text messages between Mr. Nathan Wade and his lover, Fani Willis.
This is big.
Dear Fani, yeah. I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
Uh-oh.
My oath of brothas can't deny. When my Fani walks in with that fat ass, I want to make it rain with her campaign cash.
Wow.
I noticed that her butt was stuffed.
Wow.
Deep in the jeans she was wearing.
Oh, the big, big.
I am hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, Fanny, I want to get with you and take your picture. My homeboys tried to warn me, but that big ass butt you got makes me so horny. Fanny got back.
There you go. That's a brand new testimony. Text messages, apparently. And it seals her fate. Here's Jim Gossett.
Fanny Willis is a crook. All the money that she took. Hired her boyfriend, he was unqualified. Then lied about it when she testified. 700 grand he made.
He wasn't paid enough.
Fanny made sure he got paid. No experience, but still got hired. They should be disbarred as well as fired. Oh, Fanny, you paid Nathan Wade, he's your lover. They should put you away, oh, Fanny.
You look like an idiot.
And you gave him a job just for cover.
Because you are one.
They should jail you today, oh, Fanny.
What you talking about, Willis?
Oh, Fanny, you use federal funds for your pleasure.
Pleasure.
And you won't get away, oh, Fanny. Your conviction is something we'll treasure.
I posted yesterday on Twitter, what came first with Fanny Willis, the stupid or the corrupt? It's kind of like the chicken or the egg. Clearly, the Biden administration was looking for corrupt, that they could send them enough money that they would do something, you know, create some outrageous charges, like a Cuban court against Trump and 18 of his associates about throwing an election that didn't happen. But it also, there was a bonus. People who are that corrupt frequently are stupid. So that's why this case is going to fall apart. That's why all of these cases are going to fall apart. Then there's Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden's Chinese legal client threatens to sue unless the first son pays back $1 million. Wow, this is a pretty big deal. So Hunter Biden was paid $1 million by the Chinese firm CEFC to act as an attorney for its employee, Dr. Patrick Ho, which means that a Ho hired Hunter. And now a Ho is suing Hunter. This is unbelievable. Now the Ho is threatening, Mr. Ho, he is threatening to sue the first son within 7 days unless he gets his money back. Bleep better have my money. Because he claims Hunter did no legal work for him. He didn't put out. What the hell? You know, if Ho's going to hire you, you better put out. Ho sent a letter to Hunter last week requesting that their attorney-client agreement be terminated immediately, threatening legal action unless he receives a detailed list of services provided by Hunter. And for $1 million, you better put out in some serious services and reimbursement for the unused funds. Oh, I think those funds went right up his nose. I think it's pretty much gone. Ho's letter, sent by the Hong Kong law firm Hoon and Partners to Hunter's attorney Abby Lowell, set a deadline of 7 days for the repayment. In other words, you better have that money in my account because the person sitting next to me is going to never forget this. It's his attorney. I think that's what he said. Patrick says he paid him and that Hunter never did anything for him. A friend of Ho's told the Post that, I guess maybe another Ho. I don't know if it's another Ho. Could be somebody else. And according to the contract, that money should be reimbursed. The $1 million legal retainer was wired from CEFC in China to CEFC's Hong Kong HSBC account. And then on November the 2nd, 2017, to the American account of the Hudson West, not a Bruce Willis movie. The firm Hunter co-owned with CEFC and then to Hunter's private firm, Wasco, according to his California tax indictment. According to Ho, Hunter pocketed $1 million, did no legal work for him, and then other than call his attorney, Edward Kim, and turn up an hour late for a meeting with Ho and Kim at the Manhattan Correctional Center the morning after Ho's arrest. So the Ho got arrested, the Ho paid Hunter, and the Ho went to jail. I mean, Patrick Ho. Let's go to Brian in Baltimore. Hello, Brian. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Rob. I appreciate you having me on the air again.
Yeah.
In regards to all this
chaos and all this coup, what has really been going on, it's desperation. And I think all of us are so sick and tired of the lies, everything that comes along with this. Because of power, these people are showing their true side, not just to America, but to the world, how desperate they are. And my curiosity is, what is going to be their next desperate attempt? Is it going to take out Trump and let the whole world show of how these people have been going along, making their game all along how they want and playing the game their own way? We all saw what they did with a virus, Rob.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody talks about the virus anymore.
Yeah.
Why?
You know why? Because they're afraid they'll get sued.
Yeah.
That's why, Brian. That's why.
Lawyers.
They're afraid they'll be sued. I know it's ridiculous. Brian, I appreciate the phone call. They lied about everything. That's why I did that song, Don't Catch a Stupid. They lied to you about everything. And if you read Substack, Matt Taibbi, Michael Schellenberger, it explains it, how they did it, how they censored free speech, how the federal government literally outsourced destroying the First Amendment. I can go on and on and on. I got a new story today. Where is it? Hold on one second. Don't do GoFundMe anymore. They're a political organization. GoFundMe frequently censors conservatives. Eventbrite also literally shuts down conservative events. Jim Jordan is adding Eventbrite and GoFundMe to the list of financial institutions being investigated for searching MAGA and Trump in customers' transactions to look for extremists at the urging of the Biden administration after January the 6th. So you've got now Bank of America working with them. You've got them going after purchases at Cabela's and Bass Pro, because that's where people buy guns. And now we know that in addition, officials warn banks of extremism indicators like the purchase of a religious text like a Bible or searching, including terms like MAGA and Trump. On Monday, the House Weaponization Committee Chairman Jim Jordan sent letters to GoFundMe and Eventbrite asking that they cooperate with their ongoing investigation. If you're a conservative and you want to raise money on GoFundMe, GoFundMe will take you down. Eventbrite is the same way. Ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous. Some criminal defendants charged in connection with the Capitol riot in January the 6th, 2021, had their sentences improperly increased, a federal appeals court in D.C. has ruled. U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit Court ruled Friday defendant Larry Rendell Brock's sentence improperly included charges of interference with the administration of justice. A new sentence has now been ordered for the retired Air Force officer who appeared in the U.S. Capitol dressed in combat gear in a ruling that would impact dozens of other cases stemming from the tumultuous events that day that were lied about, by the way. They were lied about. I said the day after, see MSNBC is saying, there's $100 million worth of damage to the interior of the Capitol. I said, why did they reopen the Capitol and certify the election then? Because you got played and lied to. And by the way, there's a lot more evidence coming out with regard to what happened. Representatives Loudermilk and Johnson announced the release of 5,000 hours of January the 6th footage following the arrest of Blaze Media's Steve Baker. Here is Steve Baker following his arrest on misdemeanor charges where they put him in leg irons. They put him in a belt around his waist with his hands chained for misdemeanors to send a message to journalists who want to tell the truth about January the 6th.
I probably don't have a lot to say right now. I need to process for a little while. I'm actually still shaking a little bit. I don't like what I just went through. I don't like the deliberate humiliation that they put me through. There was no reason to do that. There was no reason to march me into a courtroom in leg chains today. There was somebody there answering for a felony, and they weren't in chains. My charges are misdemeanors. It's just
if we survive this, people are going to have to go to jail for this. You know, I mean, we got to fight this for everything we're worth. This is Glenn Beck talking to Steve yesterday.
Actually, in the moment that it was happening, it was overwhelming. And then on top of being chained at your waist and your legs, then they put you in a cage with a meth dealer. And of course, Lee can speak to this better than I can, but the process of putting a nonviolent misdemeanor defendant who has been utterly and totally cooperative, since the very first phone call from the FBI over 2.5 years ago. It could have been just an order to appear. Yeah. I could have walked in with Lee, both of us with our jackets and ties on. We could have sat in the gallery. They call us up. We stand before, just as they did for a felony defendant that day. Mm-hmm. But I'm guarded by U.S. Marshals with leg chains on.
Yeah, now Carl Higbee talked to Steve last night. We'll have some of that audio coming up next. Also, Can You Hold On? You'll be up next. This is The Rob Carson Show.
Relentlessly slowing the spread of the stupid every day. It's The Rob Carson Show.
There are January the 6th prisoners being held in D.C. and moved around the country to different locations for over 1,000 days with no trial. Jake Lang is now in Brooklyn Detention Center. All of his materials were confiscated as he was moved. He was in Washington, D.C. for a number of years. Solitary confinement for months at a time. This is a gulag. Okay, we have a bourgeois, we have a proletariat. The bourgeois go to Washington, D.C. and spend their lives telling us how to live ours, use our money to enrich themselves and their friends. We feast on the crumbs, and now we have a Bastille. It won't end well for those in power. Steve Davis was working as a journalist on January the 6th. Steve Baker had not been bothered at all by the FBI or anyone until he started working for Glenn Beck's organization known as The Blaze. Here is Steve Davis last night on Carl Higbee's Frontline on Newsmax.
It wasn't until after I was hired by The Blaze that then they ratcheted up again, and I got a grand jury subpoena, and that was back in August of last year. And then in December, after we had rolled out blockbuster stories about perjury in the Oath Keepers trial by Capitol Police officers, special agents. Yeah. We did the work much of the work that you've seen on these pipe bomb stories has come right out from my team working out of The Blaze.
All adds up to one word that I said on January the 7th. Reichstag.
And then in addition to that, the additional work that they know I'm doing, because believe me, they know what I'm working on, that's what terrifies them the most, is what's coming. And so finally they pulled the trigger after going silent on us for another couple of months last week. And they actually demanded that I turn myself in. We actually chose to do it in Dallas because I'm a North Carolina resident, actually. Wow. But I'm here at The Blaze working. And we decided to do the self-surrender, voluntary self-surrender, on Friday morning. Yep. And rather than allowing me to wear a suit and tie and cooperatively walk into the courtroom as a nonviolently charged misdemeanor accused defendant, instead they had me go to the Dallas field office of the FBI, turn myself in. They put me in shackles, then they took me downtown. The FBI drove me to the federal courthouse downtown Dallas, where the United States Marshals then put me in leg chains and belt chains and put me in a cage with actual meth dealers.
Wow. You know where else they do stuff like this? China.
Well, we're not only waiting for those. In fact, I've known about this 100 boxes of documents that the House Oversight Committee.
Yeah, the January 6th Committee held it, and they destroyed a bunch of evidence, too.
Our admin has access to that had not been released either. Those things need to all be scanned. They all need to be made public. These are documents, 100 boxes worth, that the Select Committee forgot to hide or forgot to burn or forgot to shred, whatever the case may be. But they have access to that. That's not coming out. The 40,000 hours worth of video has been slow rolled for reasons that I'm aware of. I've actually spoken to Speaker Johnson about this and about the blurring. And then in addition to that, we have other documents. Because my work for the last couple of years on January 6th has gotten me right into the heart of the problem of what's taking place with the DOJ. And we're specifically asking for documents that we can't get our hands on because they're being blocked by powers more powerful than Congress.
Yeah. It's very obvious. The DOJ is corrupt. The FBI is thoroughly corrupt. The CIA is corrupt. All of these agencies have been weaponized against the American people for their political affiliations. This is true. I've lived it. I have been taken off of social media, demonetized for my political views. We now know that the DHS, who wanted to create a disinformation governance board that would decide what was disinformation and misinformation, that was headed off the pass when it was discovered during congressional testimony with Alejandro Mayorkas that it was actually happening. And they hired a psycho to be the head of it. And again, I'll tell you, who came up with the word disinformation? Joseph Stalin, 1923, disinformatia. He did the same thing. Don't believe me? Look it up. I don't make things up, but I'm also not an ignoramus. Let's take a break and come back. Jeffrey Lord, columnist, The American Spectator, talking about Super Tuesday. This is the Rob Carson Show. Don't go anywhere. Special guest Jeffrey Lord of The American Spectator in one moment. I want to mention something real quick here. Headline, feds conceal details about anti-ivermectin campaign in response to doctors' reinstated lawsuit. The FDA and the Department of Health and Human Services filed a renewed motion to dismiss a lawsuit by doctors claiming the agencies have a practice of demonizing ivermectin by conflating its human and animal doses and using command language such as stop it to discourage the use of the meds, even though ivermectin wiped out COVID in the largest province in India. I talked about that, Uttar Pradesh. Yeah, why did they do that? Why did the FDA and the HHS deny people medicine that actually worked during COVID? Huh. It's like maybe Big Pharma made a whole bunch of money out of it or something. I don't know. That is, I guess, maybe disinformation. Well, Peter McAuliffe is a physician, one of the finest in the country, cardiologist. He was one of the people who was demonized by those two agencies, shut down. Jay Bhattacharya, and I could think of more and more, Robert Malone, all gone after. But one of those doctors created the wellness company, and they created emergency medical kits. Peter McAuliffe did it. He's got Dr. Drew on board. And if you've got jumper cables in your cart, if you've got extra water in your garage in case there's an emergency, why don't you have an emergency medical kit? You need one. And this is the best one out there. There are a lot of people trying to copy him now. But the wellness company has the best one with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and Z-Pak and amoxicillin, everything from tick bites to a possible pandemic, complete with an entire booklet on how to use these meds. You just go on the website, twc.health/Carson, to save 10%, and they will ask you questions about your health, the meds you're taking, etc., and customize a package for you and your family. Here it is. Write it down again. Here it is. twc.health/Carson to save 10% on any one of the kits. Get it done. Look at the southern border. Look at what's going on in our country. twc.health/Carson. That's twc.health/Carson. Special guest on the Newsmax hotline. I believe first time appearance on the radio show. So be nice to him, everybody. Actually, I'm just going to talk to him. Jeffrey Lord, American Spectator. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. And, in a news sense, I just this second saw a news flash that Kyrsten Sinema, the Democrat running against Kerry Lake for the Senate seat in Arizona,
is
not going to run for re-election. How about that?
Shut up! That's fantastic!
So,
wow!
I think old Kerry's got a leg up there.
I'm going to tell you, today is Super Tuesday, Jeffrey Lord, but I'm calling yesterday Magnificent Monday because of that ruling by the Supreme Court. I know we expected it, but dang, that was pretty epic. And I love the meltdown that's happening, particularly on MSNBC. I mean, I don't even think therapy and upping the meds is going to help at this point.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, these people are so over the top and, wow, it is amazing to see their reaction to this. But, the thing that always amuses me, these people are running around saying Donald Trump wants to end democracy, so their answer is to keep him off the ballot.
Well, you know, it's amazing. And then I hear Rachel Maddow saying that the Democrats just won an election. Republicans are trying to blow this up. Republicans are trying to burn down the country, which is the thing. These are the things that the Democrat Party has done to the country since 2020. It is remarkable, the projection. And I've been predicting the sinking of the SS Titanic for a while. But we've got a long way to go. There's a lot of shenanigans going on. Nikki Haley, I guess she got some momentum after winning the District of Columbia. Do you suppose that'll bring her, that'll put some wind in her sails going into Super Tuesday today, Jeffrey Lord?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have a column on this today. She won the swamp. Well,
yes.
What does that tell you?
yes.
The swamp.
Exactly.
Exactly.
This is the same. This is the same place where they've overpunished January the Sixers. This is the same place that Democrats go to find hanging judges for Donald Trump. And of course, now we know that Nikki Haley won that. What do you expect today, Jeffrey? Where are the strong states for Donald Trump? I mean, obviously Donald Trump's going to probably rock every single one of them. Is there a state that is in question that Nikki Haley might be a little stronger in?
Well, I've been getting some rumblings that there might be a little surge for her in Vermont, of all places.
Well, Vermont, you know.
you know, the home of Bernie Sanders and
yes.
et cetera. So I suppose that's possible. But in essence, this is essentially on its way to being over. I think I saw that March 19th would be the day when Trump, you know, gets the actual number of delegates he needs to be nominated, and that would make it official right then and there. But he's almost to that, and I can tell you, you know, he's really upbeat. You know, I lived in suburban Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He was here a couple weeks ago, and I was invited to go over and chat with him and all this, because, you know, I know him, he's a friend, and wow, talk about being upbeat and ready to go. He was great behind the stage, and then, you know, he got on stage and really gave it to him, and you know, they ate it up. You know, they were about.
Hold on, Jeffrey. Now, I was watching Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, and they say that Donald Trump can't even put a sentence together when he's on stage. That flies in the face of the great Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski.
Well, you know, the thing I had to absolutely laugh about is the Trump critics pounced on his CPAC speech. When he was talking about Melania, and then he said something like, well, that's really great, isn't it, Mercedes? And they quickly accused him of forgetting his wife's name, obviously unaware that Mercedes is the first name of Mercedes Schlapp, Matt Schlapp's wife, who was the chair of CPAC, and she was sitting in the front row and used to work for him.
I know. Now, I want to ask you this, Jeffrey, because I watched a Trump speech Saturday in Virginia.
Yeah.
And as I was noticing it, and I'm a public speaker, I'm a comedy writer, wrote for Rush Limbaugh for 20 years. And I said, and I noticed, and this is true, there has never been a political candidate in our country like Donald Trump. There has never been a presidential candidate who has delivered such stump speeches like Donald Trump, to weave seamlessly between script and improv, including improvisational comedy, while working the crowd, while ebbing and flowing with emotion from joy to reflection and whatnot. He has changed everything as far as I'm concerned. Kennedy was a great speaker. Kennedy read a script. All right. Donald Trump has changed everything. What about just his speeches? How different he has been compared to anyone else we've seen before?
Yeah. He's great. Well, he's a showman. And I was sitting there in the audience on one occasion a couple years ago, and he was president at that point. And he said, you know, and there are the two glass things from the teleprompter up there. And he looks out at the audience and says, uh-oh, I was about to go off on script. My people hate it when I go off script. Can I go off script? And the audience just erupts.
Yes. Are you kidding me? Well, you know, here's what I have to say. He is P.T. Barnum. He is MMA wrestling or MMA fighting. He is pro wrestling. He has done pro wrestling, and he is an MMA fan. And like when, you know, he goes after people like Ron DeSantis. And then after Ron DeSantis steps out, he reaches out his hand. That's what you do. You are an MMA fighter. You talk smack before the match. You get in their face at the weigh-in. When the fight is over, you hug it out. And that's what Donald Trump does.
That's right. And he has a lot of experience with this. And he's very good at it. And I have to say, I know enough history to know there was a classic, speaking of JFK, there was a classic moment at the 1960 Democratic Convention where he spoke to the combined delegation, I guess it was, of Lyndon Johnson's Texas and his own Massachusetts. And JFK gets up there, and the two of them are in hot contention, and there's going to be a floor vote for the nomination. And JFK stands up there, cracks some jokes about Lyndon and how he'll make a great Senate majority leader, working with him in the White House and all this kind of, well, everybody burst out laughing. Yeah. And then, of course, the ultimate laugh was for JFK. Once the nomination is confirmed on the floor, he picks LBJ as his running mate. And they became such bitter foes and all this kind of thing. So it happens. And I remember vividly, I was at the 1980 convention, and I was working for Ronald Reagan. And I knew the tale. That there was pressure out of the blue to put former President Ford on the ticket with Reagan. And it became quickly apparent that was not a good idea, you know, to have a former president there who'd get there as vice president and think he's running things. So the decision is made not to do it. And Reagan turns to somebody in the room and says, get George on the phone. And that was, of course, George H.W. Bush, who had been his bitter opponent in 1980. And sure enough, he gets him on the phone, and Bush was waiting to see if he'd get the call, and Bush at his end on the suite turns around and gives a big smile and thumbs up to, you know, his wife and staff people there. So this kind of thing goes on, and it's very tough, but President Trump is right. If you're going to win, you got to unify when all this is over. And yes. I think we're just about there.
Yeah, well, I do believe that, and Jeffrey, I have said that 77% or so of the American people believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. 77% of us can come together to save her. The left has done their level best for 40 years to make us hate America, to focus on the man kneeling during the anthem and not the 65,000 who are standing, among other things. They've tried to tell us that we should hate each other because of the color of our skin, and I honestly think we have a belly full of it at this point. I really, really do. There's a new study today. It doesn't come as a surprise. New York Times, Siena says that 97% of Trump voters in 2020 will vote for him now. 10% of Biden's voters are going to Trump. And I know why it is, because Trump voters believe that the last election was a fraud. And then they've had to sit and endure the abuses and usurpations of the federal government against themselves and their candidate. So they've not only made Trump into a candidate, they made him into a movement, and now they're making him legendary. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's what I think is so remarkable. I mean, he started out in the very beginning as just another candidate for president. But it became quickly apparent that, just as you say, this was a movement and a big one. And frankly, and he loved it because, you know, I was doing a lot of CNN at the time, and I would always compare him to Reagan. Reagan headed a movement. He wasn't just a candidate. And I think that is exactly what has happened to Donald Trump. You know, I drive around here in the middle of Pennsylvania, and I still see Trump signs on the side of barns and trucks and all of this kind of thing. You don't see signs for anybody else like that. This really says something. And it's because the American people get what's happening to them. When they go to fill up the gas tank and they're paying through the nose, or to get a dozen eggs and they're paying through the nose, I mean, this stuff hits home. with them.
Yeah, I really, by the way, I love Central Pennsylvania. I went out and did a speech for Doug Mastriano out there, and I spent a lot of time out there in Pennsylvania Dutch country. Absolutely glorious. Now, let me ask you this, Jeffrey Lord, a columnist, American Spectator. Who would you like to see, and who would be the most beneficial as a running mate for Donald Trump, do you suppose?
Well, I guess my personal favorite is Senator Tim Scott. I think he's terrific. But I'd be fine. I frankly think that he's either going to pick Senator Scott or he's going to pick a woman, which could mean anybody from Kerry Lake to Governor Noem in South Dakota, Elise Stefanik there in the House Republican leadership. I don't think it's going to be just some other guy. I think he wants to, you know, have his own sort of statement. But, you know, the first time around with Mike Pence, I think that was meant to reassure the Republican establishment that, you know, he wasn't going to go wild and crazy, and good old sturdy Indiana Mike was the ticket for that. But I now think that, you know, what we've got is a situation where he's going to pick somebody that he really wants, somebody who's qualified to be president, without doubt.
Well, also, I might add that, and what I've said about the GOP right now is frequently the only people with balls in the party are those who weren't born with them. And Kristi Noem is on my list. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, among others, are certainly that way. Jeffrey Lord, absolutely. I really, really thank you for your time today. It's a real pleasure. I'm familiar with your work, and we'd love to have you on again. Where can everybody find your work, my friend, on social media?
Oh, they can find me at spectator.org or my website, thejeffreylord.com. And I have a podcast, The Word of the Lord with Jeffrey Lord.
I love that. All right. Have a glorious day, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Bye-bye.
All right, let's take a break. This is The Rob Carson Show. I got to play this today. I have to. This is a woman, presumably in her 70s, speaking at a Denver area city council meeting about the influx of illegals into Denver right now. Denver is preparing to lay off citizens who work for the city due to financial pressures because of Joe Biden's illegal alien crisis. Now, some state Democrats are urging officials to violate federal law and hire illegals for government jobs. I want you to listen to this woman's testimony. She could be your mother. She could be your grandmother. She could be your sister.
I'm here to speak on behalf of the poor, the elderly, who are struggling because of the issues that you deal with and how you deal with them. So we're talking about a thing that's going to navigate people. I took a look at some figures, and I figured some people here might ought to hear them. If we look at Denver with 40,000 immigrants, and we think that they cost $1,000 a month for housing, it's going to be $480 million for 1 year. That's just $1,000, and I don't think you can get housing for that. If you feed those people, 40,000, at $200 a month per person, I don't think that's possible today, if any of you have gone to the grocery store, that's $96 million in a year. We are headed for a tsunami. I don't think you know what you're heading at. The total of that, $576 million. Your budget, if I am correct, and I Googled it, I might be wrong, is only $72 million. I ask you how you think you're going to afford it. Now, I'm not sure I'm correct on all those numbers.
I'm going to move forward here.
For Jefferson County. And I had a disability and we had to quit. We had our advisors and they assured us that we were going to have enough money to survive. Well, I'll tell you how I survive on $30,000. You have done such wonderful work with your housing that you have cost my taxes to go up to $4,000. Oops, I'm getting really close. $3,000 for insurance, $3,000 for my car, $10,000 extra. Take that out and I live on $20,000. Now, I have to go to get clothing from the Goodwill. Now I'm so poor I have to repair the clothing.
By the way, I went by Savers. It's a Goodwill store next to my gym yesterday. It's always full. Thrift is gigantic because people don't have enough money to buy anything, clothing or otherwise. People are having to shop at Dollar General for groceries. She's an example of the people that the federal government walks over to allow illegals to come in here and destroy the country. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. All right, if you missed any part of the show today, listen to the podcast. All you got to do is ask Alexa to play the Rob Carson Show podcast, or you can go to your usual podcast platforms and find it and subscribe. That would be a blessing. God bless you, America, Israel. Until tomorrow, which is, I guess, Awesome Wednesday instead of Super Tuesday.